order the Board of Supervisors. Board of Supervisors for meeting for Wednesday, May 24, 2017 at 8:49 on the clock. We will start by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Opens Meeting Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation: Juergens, Bauman, Dorn, Lytle, Byers, and Thiemann. The consent agenda: one is a general agenda, two is approve minutes of meeting held May 10th, 2017, approve all claims through May 24th, 2017 in the amount of $907,939.39, approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve appointment of Jason Hartig to the Gage County Veterans Service Committee for a five-year term beginning July 1st, 2017. Approve insurance plan document and having chairman to sign. Approve utility permit number 1064 for the Lower Big Blue NRD. Will be trenching 6 inches wide, 5 foot deep across Township Road to place a 1-inch PVC or Syncor water line to provide water to new residents. Located in Southeast 4th, Section 30, and Northeast 4th, Section 31, Township 4 North, Range 6 East, Midland. Approve utility permit number 1065 for Windstream Nebraska, Inc. Will be directionally boring 2-inch wide, 10 feet deep for 66 feet under Township Road to replace a bad line going to a residence. Located in the Southwest 4th of Section 20 and Northwest 4th of Section 29, Township 3 North, Range 6 East, Riverside. Approve utility permit number 1066 for Windstream Nebraska, Inc. Will directionally bore 2 inches or 300 feet, 6 feet below flow line of creek, and for 84 feet, 4 feet deep south to existing pedestal, and for 276 feet, 4 feet deep north to existing pedestal. All boring will be 3 feet inside right-of-way to replace aerial cable for Gage County Project C-34, located in the northeast 4th of Section 4, Township 3 North, Range 5 East, Lincoln Township.
Move to approve consent agenda as presented.
Second.
Motion by Thiemann and seconded by Bauman. And that last one, that's for the box culvert out there on the Ellis Road, right? Any questions? Vote 6-0 in favor. Regular agenda. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Lenhart.
Who's first?
They're all on the agenda, so.
Yeah. They all know you're first, Lenhart.
Okay. Yeah. Lenhart for 29813 South 120th Road, Beatrice, Nebraska. Haven't seen you guys in a while, so I thought I'd come and I'd give you a few comments. What I'm wondering about is this planning and zoning and permits and, you know, this and that, and pretty soon you'll need a permit to go to the women's bathroom is about what it comes down to as far as I'm concerned. Now, do you need a permit for repairs like a roof? If you get a hailstorm, do you have to have a permit first?
If you're inside the city zoning, you do, but in county, I don't think there's any permitting for repairs or anything other than additional construction.
In other words, repairs is a different.
I'm not 100% sure. They'd have to contact Nancy Needfield, our zoning administrator.
Well, what I'm wondering is now, okay, we got long weekends sometimes. And, okay, you happen to get a hailstorm in your roof and what have you, do you have to wait till to get a permit? I mean, you might have to wait to a certain day to get a permit, or can you go ahead and repair? What is all the rules?
Zoning or permitting is different everywhere. In Beatrice now, you need permitting for shingling, siding, patios, encroachment. I mean, there's a big list in municipalities, but every municipality is different. So county's pretty easy going, I would say, as permits, and we haven't increased the number of permits on anything or increased what needs a permit. I think the only thing that's been discussed lately is if you're going to put up a building, you're going to come in and get a permit right away because you always walk the line, I know, Linhart. But there's people that aren't getting permits, and then they don't pay any tax for X number of years, and then they were paying a $150 fine and not paying all the back taxes. So now,
or if they do an addition to a building.
Or an addition to a building.
That's correct.
Now what planning and zoning did was they increased the penalty for not getting a permit, and they'll have to pay the back taxes. I don't think they increased anything you need to get a permit for.
No. Well, I wonder if you can't keep it up in repair, you ain't changing nothing. Repair shouldn't, because otherwise you got to take the valuation down while it damaged and then bring it back up, or how would you work all of that?
I would encourage you to repair anything that needs repaired and keep it all in tip-top shape.
Tip-top shape, yeah. Yeah, I wonder about the planning and zoning. You know, I sometimes wonder, like an ordeal that took place, planning and zoning and the fire marshal and everybody, everything was in place. Here the county board, they denied it then. Well, they're all talking about the ifs. I'm not even close to the anhydrous deal as far as that goes, but I'm just staying my piece. About 72 years ago, I was sitting someplace north of Manila in the jungles, and the next day the world was supposed to come to an end, but it never happened. And that's like with the anhydrous and everything. Whenever you put up stuff, I mean, they're always looking for what could happen, but world never come to an end, and things don't happen on other stuff either. I can see in that area where they got to go a long ways for anhydrous and stuff, where they would like something like that. So, oh, and then you're spending all this money on taking the prisoners to the other jails. Now, why don't you guys take all that court and fine money and put it in a kitty and use that to put the ones that created the problems that go to jail and take that fine money and stuff and put that in a kitty and use that. I know there's over 100,000 in fines, so it wouldn't cost you nothing for the prisoners.
Roger could answer that, but generally speaking, that money doesn't come back into the counties. That's designated for other.
The court costs and stuff are allocated between a lot of different projects. We have nothing to say about that. That's your legislature. You need to talk to Senator Baker, okay, and his friends up there.
Yeah.
Number two, all the fines collected go to our schools. So that's a good thing.
Well,
so you can take the money away from our children and give it to the
criminals. So that goes,
I think,
there.
I like the other way better.
So.
All the fines go there, and that's those things are all set by state statutes. We don't have control over that.
Well, I thought that'd be a good kitty to put it in, and you'd always have a little extra money to spend.
Well, I think, Lenhart, too, we take money out of the county's budget to repair the courtrooms and make them in shape so that they can take care of all those people. And we have to pay that out of our county budget to keep those courtrooms safe. And I think we have done work up there. I think we still have some more we're going to need to do out of this next year's budget.
Set up a tent outside. Have a hearing in there. It wouldn't take long. Well, it's about all I got to say here this morning. I can't work on Roger anymore. I thought maybe Roger was pocketing all the money there.
I work on a commission. No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Lenhart.
Thank you, Lenhart.
Anybody else for public comment? I think everybody else is on the agenda here. We do have a timed event at 9:15, so we have 15 minutes yet for that. Buildings and ground, winter lights. Dave, must have something if you're here. So.
Morning. I did not have anything the day of the committee report, so I do just have some updates now, though. The building down in Wymore was torn down yesterday. It went down really clean. There was a lot of moisture from all the rain, so it was a good day to do that. One question I had, I went down there to look at it yesterday, and Tim Lottman had told me that there is a wall that is adjoining the north property that owner would like to see that wall stay in place, but it is still the county's wall. And I called him this morning and said that we were going to be discussing it, and he said, well, just let him know as soon as possible, because he is still down there yet, whether that needs to come down or
That's what we wanted to talk about, and like I said, we wanted to ask Roger what maybe, I don't know if everybody's seen it or not, that one picture here, Matt, did you see it, that wall that, he has a carport on the other side with no wall there if we take that wall down and stuff.
That was something that you and I and John looked at. It would have been last year now. We figured he'd probably want to leave that up. The problem is your freestanding wall with only, there's only one, probably what, an 18-inch dead man on the, for a corner on the far end.
Yeah, I would imagine.
What's a dead man?
Or corner, just a
talk support. Like the rest of us can understand what's a dead man.
There's one support at the end of the wall holding it up. Otherwise, it's just
it's not
a
attached
wall just
it,
standing
right.
there. My only fear would be if that thing would blow over or tip over. You're talking a lot of weight. It'd smash anybody if they were over on that side. Or, like you and I talked, if it would fall the other way, he parks his cars in there. It could fall right on top of there. The best way would be pass ownership to somebody else on that. If he wants to keep it, buy the lot, keep it up. But I don't know how we do that right now.
I agree with Eric. If he wants that wall to stay, he can own it. Otherwise, I think it needs to go.
Well, the only thought after talking with Myron would be to get a waiver of liability. That would be the only consideration I would look at doing that. I understand where he's going, but we don't know who's going to buy this land. We're not going to own it. I mean, whether it's a dollar or whatever, I assume somebody is. Well, you know, we entered into this whole thing based on liability issues. And we've had a lot of time to talk with neighbors, which we've done. And now all of a sudden, one of them wants the benefit of the situation. And without poking at them, I just think we're a little late in the day to be looking at that. I mean, Mr. Lottman's there in good faith. He bid. He bid our project that we had the proposal to take it down. And so if we delay it, then we're going to have Mr. Lottman go, wait a minute, I'm not leaving my equipment here for while you guys hammer out an agreement. Hate to be harsh on that, but.
And the other side of that carport, he does have 10 from the ground all the way up. So the side we see with this wall, it's bare, you know, because that wall's, that block wall is there. The other side of that carport, he has metal on it. So there is another way, you know, he still can have that coverage
he's
without
got,
a block.
He's got a metal wall, then he doesn't need, I mean, a metal side there. He doesn't need the wall then, really.
It's on the opposite side of the block
wall. It's on the opposite
wall,
side. Okay.
But that metal wall's not going to fall on anybody and smash them.
If that was our wall and part of the building, why wasn't it taken down?
Because he asked if it could be left up.
The standing building started.
Lottman did?
Hawkins did. Not Lottman. Hawkins did. Hawkins owns the building behind that.
And Denny, the building they
but
took
what
down.
Did we get in return for that?
The risk of the wall falling until we get rid of the property.
Yeah.
That's what we get for it. I don't know what everybody else thinks. We told Lottman we'd give him an answer here this morning. If you're looking strictly for the county's perspective, we'd be a lot better off taking the wall down. And I think most people are in agreement with that, correct? We're going to take the wall down.
All right.
Have them take the wall down.
Let them know.
Yeah.
Okay. Another thing that happened Monday that I wasn't aware of for the meeting, extension office phones, all of them went down for a day and a half, actually, and it was due to the large amount of rain. Something got really wet, and they are working now, but they're actually not fixed. I think they bypassed around there, and they have some test equipment on it yet, so they do have phones now, but the problem is not fixed. So the only other thing I have is you hear a little bit of noise going on out there. The Onyx top was delayed a little bit, and it came in yesterday, and so that's going in the women's restroom today, so another step closer.
Dave, you're still working on getting a different bid then yet for phone, you know?
Yes, I should say that, yes.
And then the extension office will be hopefully tied in with
Yes, and that's where when we did talk, it'd be a way of eliminating the OPX lines to go through whatever else to have clean lines.
Dave, what did the University of Nebraska say about them phones?
I don't have an answer for that.
Okay.
I got a call from Paul Hay in the morning, and then I was work in progress, and he called again and asked where they were at, and they just said it wasn't just the extension office. There was other areas on the west side that lost phone service. So
that is the Gary brought up a good question. A good question to ask Paul. What's the university saying? Because they should be assuming more and more of the cost of those things. We're laying that over to them now. So that's a good question to ask. Thank you for bringing it up.
When you talk to Windstream, I know you like the phone system, but maybe tell them we're thinking about reducing their payment for the month because we're having so many issues. We shouldn't be paying for a working system.
A good point. Between probation, not having some very important phone lines, and now extension office. And I know it's always, we never have trouble with the courthouse as a rule. It's just the way that it comes to the courthouse, and then from this point to that point, there's a lot of old lines that are constantly giving us trouble.
Good point.
Then we have one more thing yet, too, the fourth floor room. Monday at committee meeting, we talked about that. And since then, Roger's talked to me, and I've talked to Brian. Debtor exams. Roger, you explain it a little bit, what they're asking.
Basically, what it is it's kind of an overflow from the court system. These are actual court proceedings. Typically, the judge on these things will swear in the people that are coming in for the court proceeding and then allow the creditor's attorney to ask questions. The judge oftentimes will then go ahead and conduct other meetings, other court proceedings in his courtroom while those are going on. But it is a regular court proceeding. So if there was any question as to was this a courtesy or trying to help out somebody outside the school or outside our court? No, it's not. It's actually, if it wasn't held up there, we'd have to find another place. And quite frankly, the court personnel, Davey and Brian, have tried to find other places to, because they only happen about once a month or twice a month. The fourth floor, and like I said, when they've used that a couple of times, and for us, it's noisy, but there really isn't any other place that, without remodeling. And
well,
that's
currently Brian showed me where they currently have them. They go in the secured area back in the jury room.
Yeah.
So
which that does
the issue there is when court is in session and they're doing this debtor exams, then the inmates are going through that area also.
Correct.
And stuff. So there's security issues and stuff. They would like to use the fourth floor old board meeting room. There will only be two people in there at a time taking exams, he said, because that's how they have to have confidentiality and the way they do it. In their room, there will only be two people at a time. They will have somebody always monitoring the camera, so they will, anybody out in the hall or anything will be monitored. They would like to be able to do that. That's probably that once a month time, and then schedule it like with Don so that they could use that room mainly for security reasons.
And again, I don't see any reason, we're the, other than diversion, we're the people up on fourth floor. We'll deal with that.
Yeah.
And there would be some other, like we have pre-hearing conferences on juvenile matters that are probably at that point, if this works out, and I think it will, we may be asking, because right now we're meeting in the jury room, and again, because of security reasons, you're back there where you have access to court staff, court judges. That's probably not places to take other people.
My only, and I was with Dave here a little bit about, there's some few things in that room, and maybe Don or somebody else here, maybe I'll have to go out and look at. We've just never taken out of there over the years. Any of the filing cabinets, they're all locked right now. Brian said he's made sure they're all locked, so that's all safe, anything in the filing cabinets. But there's an old computer, there's a table with some old computer stuff on there, and then we just want to make sure that everything, what should be out of there, is out of there.
Sure.
and stuff, even for when Roger or anybody use it. But I think, you know, Monday we talked about it, and there were some real reservations about letting him use it because in that piece of paper they sent us, it said up to 30 people, and I thought, well, they're going to have up to 30 people in the hall and in there. No, there will be up to 30 people that might have to take the debtor's exam that day, but there never will be more than two of them in there taking the exam at a time. So I said we'd visit about it today and maybe see if we couldn't give them the okay to go ahead and use that. Now, they're going to have to schedule with the clerk's office and everything so that everybody knows that that's spoken for that day and that time. So I guess, does that answer some of, you know, you had some good questions Monday.
Well, yeah, it sounded like it was going to be a lounge up there where there's
a
bunch of people in there, nobody watching them, and it's like, I don't know if that's a good
idea. The email or by the paper he sent down to us, it didn't sound near like what it turned out to be. So I think if we need to, we'll put it on the consent agenda next time to allow him to use it. But for now, they can go ahead and plan on using it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Time you've been at 9:15. So equalization.
So they're going to use the room then? They can use it?
Yeah, let them use it. We'll put it on the consent agenda next time to approve it, which will be before their next one. They want to use it June 14th. But I think we'll go ahead, unless somebody has reservations or whatever. No.
Do we need to have it in as an agenda item? Can we just state it right now?
I think, yeah, you guys basically can control it. If you had you want to put conditions or discuss it further, again, I mean, you've got... Our security staff is, you know, monitoring the thing, as well as the courts. And so they only schedule a certain number at a time.
Let them use it. Whatever you think. We don't need it on the agenda.
Whatever you think.
I don't think we need it on the agenda.
I don't think we do either.
No.
And they just schedule that with Dawn, though, because the clerk's office has to let them in and monitor.
We have a calendar that... Roger calls us, Diane calls us. I mean, somebody else can take it over if they want, but that's how it has been.
It's more so that we don't have two people thinking they're using it the same day, and then we run into problems because I don't want to have to deal with that.
No.
Dawn does a great job. You should just keep doing that.
Yeah. Well, it's a good attempt, though, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't mind because there are times that I need to use it for, like, depositions and when we have trials involving young people. I don't want them in the hallway down at the courts where people can talk to them or cause them further concern. Like I said, this deal with the pre-hearing conferences, that would work out. And again, at a time when you had a computer in there, you had other information, if you will, that I understand why you would want to not have a lot of people in there. I think that's basically been removed, as I understand.
You don't want the computer itself, the laptop I had in there.
I have no idea what's in the files, but like she said, they're locked. I think from the taxpayer's concern, it's utilization of a room that's basically sitting empty if you don't use it. So
it makes sense. It makes sense. Use it.
Yeah.
That way you still have an opportunity to use it if you guys need it to.
Yeah. Equalization. Anything for equalization?
No.
Except you said for Annette not to maybe – we'll have more time to talk, but – when we start scheduling some of the hearings or whatever.
Right.
So, finance insurance.
basically nothing, I think.
Part of the reason – what? There was a big
transfer. I'll go through the –
you got that.
I'll go through that part of it. There's the big ticket items. Gage County Highway Department, transfer of funds, which is a normal procedure we do to fund the roads department. $400,000, GIS workshop assistant support, web subscriber $12,147, UPS postage for the meter $10,000, Washington County Sheriff's Office boarding inmates and medical $28,786.06, ASAN and gravel hauling. This would be township. $60,608.66. Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, County. $13,448.14. Is it County? That one? Okay. And Sapp Brothers Fuel and Oil, $22,763.78. Those are the big ticket items.
I'm going to back up because I just got a report from Dave. He talked allotments going to be taken care of on the wall.
The wall will come down.
Yep.
Good enough.
So Davey is already on top of it.
Mr. Gorbachev.
Take down the wall.
Mr. Jones, tear that wall down.
You can tell he works for me, can't you? No, I got that confused. I work for him.
I know, yeah, 9:15. It was 9:14 on the clock, so we're going to wait just a minute. But it's close enough to 9:15. I'll entertain a motion to, it's 9:14 on the clock, so I'll entertain a motion to, well, we better wait for 9:15 because this is for bids.
Is this the close enough for government work statement?
It's Army work, isn't it?
Hope everybody understands we do have a good time around here, okay?
Have any.
Sometimes.
Get one. Good. Better than none. Otherwise, Galen will be going back out. And
paintbrush.
Oh, okay.
Okay, we have 9:15 on the clock. I'll entertain a motion to close bids for the 33.9 miles of highway striping project.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, second by Thiemann. Vote 6-0 in favor. So you said we had one?
I have a bid folder now, so everything goes in there.
Wouldn't want you to put soft hands there.
Well, they have one bid. I guess I didn't need to
put all that off
down 40 different.
That's what I was going to say. I wonder who's going to get it.
Yeah.
Straight line striping.
Remember, we can accept, reject, or award.
That's quite a name.
Straight. Glad there's a straight line on the paper.
Could have done it.
This bid is from Straight Line Striping. Hey.
Is that who we've used in the past?
That's the same. Is that the same ones that's been?
Yes.
Okay, that's the bond. Okay, three options here. Option one, edge striping only, both sides, per mile bid price $640 for a total of $21,696. Second option, center line, no passing stripes only, contractor determined no passing zones, bid per mile $320 for a total of $10,848. Option three, edge striping both sides, center line, and no passing stripes. Contractor determine the no passing zones. Bid per mile, $960 for a total of $32,544. Contractors anticipating start date, July 2017. And they include a bond with it. Bidder's name, Straight Line Striping Incorporated out of Ponderosa Drive. Where are they out of?
Grand Island, I believe.
Grand Island. Grand Island. Okay. That's the bid we have. Now, Galen, we always use option three, don't we?
Yes.
Okay. All right. This is for the 33.9 miles of armor coating that was just finished, I think, last week.
Correct.
In our roads department report, it was done last Wednesday. The county will be renting a broom to clean the roadsides, the excess material off. Galen stated it'd take about a week to do all the brooming, and after that's done, then we could get them striped. So this is for the armor coating miles that we had just finished up last Wednesday.
Well, that puts us in good shape time-wise. So
yeah,
they're going to start July 1st.
Yeah. I would like to make a motion to approve option number three on the 33.9 miles at a cost of $960 per mile for a total bid price of $32,544.
Second.
Motion by Jurgen, second by Thiemann. Any more discussion? This is about where we've been normally at, isn't it? I mean, the last few have been in the 900 and some range, or
believe that 960 is what we gave last year.
Gave last year, too.
I know on your estimates, Galen, you always figured $1,000 a mile.
Yeah. So it's real close to there. So any other discussion?
It's part of the project. I mean, you got to do it for liability reasons. Yeah. So
that's the only question I would have is contractor decides passing and no passing zones. Is there any liability in that for us or for them? Or
you'd rather have state patrol there?
I'd rather have them out of county.
I had to ask.
I think that's been pretty standard, hasn't it?
I think, yeah.
I heard the same thing, but.
And can we set aside the money from this year's budget to pay for this, even though we aren't paying for it until next year? Can't do it?
Unless you have it, but you can transfer it.
Okay.
Yeah. We can't pay him until the work's done either. So.
That's right.
Yeah. So, okay, we have a motion. We have a second to approve the bid for $32,544. Vote. 6-0 in favor. Back to committee reports. Human Resources, Employee Relation,
nothing
Law Enforcement, Emergency Management.
Gus, you got anything you want to bring forward? Okay.
Nobody was here. Tim's still not back. He's still waiting for doctor approval. Carla wasn't here. Gus wasn't here. So we talked about the flooding, and Scott wrote an article about the flooding that we had this past week.
Well, let's get Road and Bridge done. I have one other committee.
Okay. Road and Bridge.
Basically, taking care of the striping. We talked about that. Dirt crew's been shouldering PWF West and silt fencing and seating as they go. And as I commented, I think, at the meeting, I've had several compliments on that shouldering project that's been done there. You know, it's just like anything else. Weather plays an important role in that, and they've go for a little while. Rains go for a little while. It's got to be decent weather to make it work. So it's kind of an off and on project, shall we put it? But I don't know how far you get. I know this is a project that's usually done in between culverts and those kind of things, basically, and they'll be coming up here shortly. So he'll continue to shoulder as much as we can.
How many miles on the PWF do you think they have done, Galen? They half done, maybe, or
we have about 2.25, I believe, done.
Done. So we got a little over between three and four left then yet. And then we've got Liberty, too, yet. So it takes a while, but I will say this, too, what I've seen, not in the PWF, the Adams Philly one, where they redid those, that it really, I think it helps the life of our road, because if we put that shoulder on there, it that's what makes the road
Absolutely.
Last longer and everything, too. And also for safety, they've been doing a good job. They've been making some nice shoulders, greater ditches.
The thing about this one is there's a bunch of material removed, and I don't know the intersection it is, but it's always been a problematic one where it's a three-way stop. Visibility isn't the greatest, so that's where that's where a share of that dirt came from, and improved the visibility on that intersection immensely. So it was where the material came from was a good deal. We had people from the Badger Community Hospital. They're planning a 5K run walk for October 1st. Asked about using Hickory Road for about a mile and a half going west on 77, from 77. Last week purchased a crack sealing machine off of a state bid for a total price of $39,202. Should get delivery in early June. And had discussions on, of course, roads, material, and but they're in pretty good shape. So that's it.
You didn't read the last one there. Denny wanted 7th Street to be repaired and upgraded.
Yeah,
so.
We've got some.
He keeps asking
in
about
town
that.
Work on
between 7th and 8th on Summit.
Oh, between 7th and 8th on Summit. That's right. Where you really want it done. So
want a crosswalk? Is that what you want?
I'm sorry, sir.
Would you like a crosswalk?
Yes, and need to have the corners repaired also.
If you get something in writing, we'll send that to the city. We'll be glad to send that to the city. We'll sign it all. And
just a minute, I think I have that ready.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Galen, I know there was some question about the Hickory Road out there. Would you be able to touch on that a little bit as far as the drainage and why the ditches were filling up and water coming across the road?
On Saturday, yeah, there, Friday, Saturday. You went out and looked at it then Saturday morning, yeah.
Part of the problem on that was when you get west of the railroad tracks, we have that short stretch to 89th Road, and then it turns back into gravel. Well, west of the concrete going up the hill to the west, on the south side of the road, there's a waterway that dumps into that greater ditch along the gravel. And it jumped out of the greater ditch and went across the road to the north side, and that come down along the ditch on the north side down to the concrete before you get the railroad tracks to the culverts that go underneath the road and take it to the opposite side of the road. And that was part of the reasons that it overtook the culverts there from bringing that water down instead of keeping it on the ditch on the south side. That was part of the problem. And also, it must have really rained hard because there was a big volume of water that did come down that stretch. So it did go across the concrete down there prior to the railroad tracks also. Other than that, from what I know of, there's nothing, no other part of Hickory Road that had any water across it other than the gravel. And then as you worked on up to DeWitt, I call it the back road in DeWitt along the gravel, there were several areas that there was so much water the ditches couldn't drain fast enough because they'll flat up in there when you go to DeWitt. There was water along the road and out into the road in some places. Also the Bus River Bridge, where it usually goes under, it was under. The water was down yesterday on that stretch also. But that was the reasoning behind the water going across Hickory there. This summer when it dries up, we do need to get into the ditches along there and clean that out, and also along Coke there. We need to clean that ditch out that goes down along Southwest 75th Road. To get that drainage so there's more capacity, because now the ditches are still silted up even along that when you go down to Southwest 75th, that drains a lot of that water there in front of the plant. So that those ditches do need to be cleaned down.
So that'll help prevent it
yes.
in the future if,
yes.
once we get that done.
Yes.
Yeah. Another question for you. Cedar Road, I know the last couple years it seems like every spring when we have the first go-around, of like we've had the last 2 weeks, Cedar Road's always been an issue. I have not heard anything, so I'm assuming maybe we're...
Ray, Cedar Road is one of the miles that Galen was picked out for gravel
yes.
and material in the next, hopefully for the budget year ends. That was one of them that was on that list.
Okay, so we are
it
still having some
gravel.
Issues there then.
Yes, well, it's really improved from... Was it a year ago or so when we had several complaints on it? We did gravel that... a little over a year ago, and I don't know where all the gravel goes, but there's not much of a gravel ridge along that stretch of road again. That's why it's turned in to be graveled hopefully here within a couple of weeks again on that. We did try to start pulling up some shoulders this spring, but with all the rains, it was always so wet we couldn't pull the shoulders up to reclaim some of that material. I did drive the Cedar Road and checked a lot of places off the slope of the road going into the ditch to see how much gravel is in there, but remarkably there wasn't that much that was down in there to be pulled up anyway. So evidently it's got all beat back down into the base over the last year and a half or whatever it's been since we graveled that stretch.
It's good for the public to know that you're thinking of it, because I know it's a well-traveled road and yep. it gets a lot of traffic. So I just good that you speak of it there, because
that first 6 miles going west of 77, they're going to start graveling that today, putting gravel down on that. There's about 1,450 tons going down on the first 6 miles. So.
Good. And we did get Scott Street. I believe we got that done. That was the first stretch that we done, Scott Street, because it was also getting real shy of material. And we had pulled up a part of the shoulders on that earlier on in the spring also, and there still just wasn't enough material on that. So that's one stretch of road that has been graveled already. So.
Yeah, and I wanted to commend you that Hickory Road held up nicely through the rain this year.
Real nice. You know, it's kind of nice not to have the phone ringing off the wall, because you got a mud spot everywhere down their stretch. So
yeah,
I'll talk just a little bit about the railroad crossing. I'm CCing Galen when I send those railroad people emails, and I did probably 2-3 weeks ago, and finally got an answer back. The track foreman has been out for 2 months with sickness or some kind of health issue, so the assistant guy finally answered back, but they still haven't scheduled anything or said anything. And I
don't think I would want to be in charge of that project for the railroad, because everyone that is gets sick or disappears or...
This is the railroad tracks you're talking about that they told us about 6 months ago that they'd be working on it in 2 months.
They originally it was going to be done in April May time period. Yeah, and
which year?
In the last email, I made a comment. I says, "Well, if you don't start scheduling this thing, it won't be done this year yet." You know, and that. Oh, well, my last email wasn't quite so nice, but still wasn't. The
track foreman does live very close to me, and he has been very, very ill, but he's back to work. So.
He is back to work. Yeah. Well, I need to send him.
The truck's gone every morning now, though.
Good.
All right. I'm watching it.
Because the first time, way back in January, when they sent something out, they had to order supplies in. Well, they surely have supplies ordered by now. So we'll see what we find out later.
Maybe if you don't hear anything back by the end of next week, you could send a couple of guys from the highway department over to the track foreman's house and see if he misplaced anything.
No. Then somebody will call Gus's office and have somebody out there too. So
their phones might be down.
Thank you, Galen.
You bet.
Anything else for Road and Bridge?
Galen.
Next up on the agenda, Lisa Wiegand.
I want one more committee. One more committee.
Sorry, Lisa. Just
but Lisa can come right on up.
Okay.
This is visitors committee, and there's something that been discussing a little bit for 2 months now, maybe a hotel feasibility study.
Oh, okay.
And I think that they could use a little bit of direction from us as a group as they we have conversation about this afternoon. Correct?
Yes, that is correct.
So if you want to set the stage, go for it.
Sure. Engage will be, again, bringing that up for discussion. And the question is through the RFPs have gone out and the interviews have actually taken place in the selection process. And I can't speak on behalf of Engage, so excuse me, but I'm just kind of giving you an over gauge of that. But the question is, when it comes time to whether or not the county whether or not Engage can continue, it will be a funding issue and where those funds would come from. The question is, I know Laura's been in contact through an email, maybe through Roger, and I'm not sure if determination has come in, and we'll give you that opportunity to share with us where that's sitting at. But the question was, is whether or not lodging tax, you know, the way the law is set up right now, can actually be used for the feasibility study. And currently in that account, we have, after pending approvals and so forth, you'll have that right at about $193,000 in that improvement fund is where the current balance stands. So we just are, you know, opening it up for more discussion this afternoon. I know the question will be is if they can engage, continues their effort, where those fundings will come from and so forth. So.
And I've been contacted by both parties, if you will.
Yeah.
And I've also contacted a third party in Lincoln that I am hoping will give us an ultimate decision. Because it's not just Gage County this comes up in. It's come up in other counties as far as is this legit or not. And so in talking with this third party, I said this would be a good thing. As long as they don't pass it off to the legislature to give further, because in my mind and reading the statutes, basically it can go either way. And my understanding, it's been used in the past in Gage County for a similar situation. Is that right?
I think that was a matter of when the law was rewritten and so forth, so that was what they needed to have a determination, because this board actually approved a feasibility study on the homestead back then, too. But that was back in 2008, so the
Laura's
so Laura's
maybe.
Yeah, I might as well come up.
You got to come up, yeah.
I just want to clarify that when that feasibility study was done for Homestead National Monument, it was used out of the 2% marketing funds, not the improvement funds. The question we have is whether or not it can be used out of the improvement funds, because it's not clear in there. Marketing funds, it probably can be used But that money is already set by budget for the chamber, so then the chamber board would have to go see if they can find it out of their budget, and what are we going to pull from in order to make that happen with the chamber budget if it's used out of the marketing funds. So we're talking about two different pieces of legislation, two different sets of rules on how it can be used, and I'm trying to keep it so that we do it correctly, which was why I asked for an opinion. So that's what we're trying to do. So I want to make sure everybody understands it's the right hand and the left hand. It's not the same.
So did we...
If it hasn't answered your question, no.
No, did we contact Charlie Jansen's office? Because the last time they got involved with tourism, heads rolled, and I kind of like mine to stay attached. And so that's probably the quick... I mean, I'm not telling you business. That's Nebraska Tourism is that whole... fiasco that they went through, that's probably the quickest is what the auditor would say.
Well, also the attorney general.
Yes, the attorney general.
So, and again, it's one of those that's like you get a call and they want an answer. No. That's not going to happen because, you've got, I don't want to use competing interests, but that's why I wanted to make sure.
Yeah. The problem is why it says it can be used for studies. It also defines what a tourism entity is, and it does not include hotels. So that's the problem. I mean, it defines what a study can be used for. Am I correct? It defines what a study.
Not completely.
Okay.
I just didn't get the legal argument number one, there's enough ambiguity in the law that you can go either way. That's my initial reading on it. Number two, the definition as far as housing. People may disagree that motels aren't housing. I would challenge that with anybody. Go out there and see who's living in those hotels.
Sure.
Okay. So, but again, there's not a bright line.
Right.
And I think what Matt's saying, what Myron had indicated, let's be careful. There's counties going both ways, and that's why I thought it'd be a good idea. Let's get a ruling on it.
Yeah. So I've asked to err on the side of caution.
I don't know if we're going to get that, because I don't know what your timeline is or what Engage's timeline is. I know they'd like to have an answer as quick as possible, but is there a timeline that you folks are looking at that you need this thing?
I know that Engage is actually meeting tomorrow, to try to get an overview too. So that would be a question for them. But
I just wondered if somebody like
action has been made on the company. But I'm sure until you know how to finance something, you can't move forward. So
okay,
right.
That's the clarification that we need.
Well, again, I'll just tell you, we're moving as fast as we can. Understand? I could give you a decision, but I'm no expert in tourism. And it'll come down to a definition basically on housing situation. And
if they continue to not give us an answer, I say if everybody on this board agrees to move forward, I would say we move forward and force them to give us an opinion.
I agree with you, Gary.
Well, you mean as far as the tourism department?
I mean, if you can't get an answer from somebody.
No, it's not. And again, without being in an open public and criticizing people, everybody's up their eyeballs and alligators. And in the world of we're $900 million behind budget, not that this isn't important to us, it is, but on that level, you see what I'm saying? And that's just, I've learned the hard way with government is you ask nicely and then ask nicely again. Otherwise, they take your request and it goes like this. And that's just the way it is. And, I mean, I can give you a decision.
Well, I guess the thing that, but that's, like you said, you can go either way. So I don't think we would be out of bounds by moving forward if we're not getting the okay.
Let me see if, again, you're asking somebody to give you a definitive ruling from government.
Good luck.
And you think the railroad's tough.
Right. Right.
But just give me another opportunity, because I talked to some people when I was out at the County Attorneys Association just to see if they and some others had run in the past, and they were like, yeah, we had that question, but they couldn't give me an answer as far as what they did. So Fair hopefully enough. They'll shoot me back an email and here's what we advised our county board to do.
Fair enough.
And that just helps.
Yep.
But and I appreciate it. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
It's just one of those.
I think most of us do just want to move forward if we can.
Well, no, I mean, everybody, I think everybody's together on this.
Right.
Countywide, it's just a matter of making sure we're doing it the right way. And,
Roger, the only reason that I see it as being important, I shouldn't say the only reason, but the big reason I see it as being important is you have an opportunity for some economic development here where, you know, if this goes through and it comes back and says, yes, there's a need for more hotel rooms, which we believe there is, you know, then you're going to have a better chance of bringing in another chain in to add to them rooms.
Absolutely.
And at this point, you just don't have anything to say, hey, we need these and come on down.
And of course, what this study does is it tells us what we need and what we don't need. So on the other flip side of it, maybe it'll say that, you know, we may not need it, or we may need other entities beyond that point, too, that it's an outside person looking in or another entity. So, but anyway.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, so I'm actually here today for the visitors grant funding application. One more application that came in on a positive side, and that is for three showcases to go into Carnegie that would be built. We would be financing a portion, one-third of it, one particular display case for the cost of $3,500. And where that would be used, actually, is that this past, you know, through the years, traveling art shows and so forth have been able to come to Gage County and be displayed at the Carnegie Hall. And so there are some things that need to have a little bit added protection. If you're wondering how that impacts, you know, involvement into our community, we had a high amount of students come over this year when the ANAC, which is the Nebraska Tourism, or excuse me, not Nebraska Tourism, but it's the Nebraska Arts Council, just traveling show, and we had several students from middle school actually walk over and look and see that display. So we're increasing traffic flow in here. We have a lot of people that travel with that show, so there's a definite need. We'd be co-oping with the Friends of the Carnegie, who also are contributing to that, the efforts of getting, you know, getting people into the Carnegie. So $3,500 at a pit with the approved funds that you've also approved before. That puts us right out, if this is approved today, right around that $190,000 is what our improvement funds are at to date. So, and this year we would have just spent a little over $22,000. So, but.
Approved.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Lytle. Discussion? Vote. 6-0 in favor.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you much.
Thank you, Lisa, for all you do.
Yes, thank you.
If anybody hasn't been down to take a look, you need to come down there to look at our displays and go through the Carnegie building again. It's just fantastic.
Yes. Thank you. Next on the agenda, Mark Engler with Homestead for an eclipse update. So.
Hello, everyone. Wanted to, I don't know, if Laura, Lisa, you want to join me?
But, Mark, just give who you are. Just
Mark Engler, Superintendent, Homestead National Monument of America.
Yeah.
Anyway, we wanted to, I guess I'd first like just to start out by thanking Galen for their help with signage on Hickory and 89th Road. So we appreciate that. And also, I'd like just to say thanks to Gus and the Sheriff's Department for their continued help and their support of the monument. So thank you, Gus. So, with the eclipse, just wanted to make sure everybody's aware that we continue to get a lot of interest from people outside the county, outside the region, outside the state, and throughout the United States on eclipse activities and what we're going to be providing at the monument. And what's available in the community. And in fact, we have a NASA TV that's going to be coming to the monument today to do a site assessment and figure out how they're going to be setting up for a national broadcast on the day of the eclipse. So, interest is is almost daily, and it's emails, phone calls, or people just walking in, and people traveling great distances walking in the door to check out where they want to set up their telescopes or whatever they might want to do in association with the eclipse. As part of the activities at the monument, we are actually planning for 4 days of activities, three primary days. The primary days are Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, and I have a tentative schedule. And I'll ask Laura, she'll help me that way, and then
thank you. Please.
Anyway, our schedule is still fluid, so that's why I have draft on it. But we have primarily with the program, we have we're a NASA viewing site. They call us, NASA's calling us, referring to us as a broadcast site. And with that, they're sending a number of people to help and participate. As you'll see when you look at that schedule, that agenda, they're sending people to talk about to different programs that are managed through NASA, such as the lunar program, such as exoplanets. You'll even see a speaker there that's talking about the planetary defense, and I think that sounds pretty interesting to me. In addition to that, we're going to be also featuring, like we all know, we live in a farming community, so we've invited a speaker to come in from Farmers Union Co-op to be talking about how farming's done today with satellites and building off the homestead story. Furthermore, we have Ready Jet Go. They're a PBS series that deals with space and science, and they're going to be helping us along with another special announcement that we have here in the next couple of weeks of another person to come in and help lead the safety part of it with the glasses on, glasses off. And so it's a lot of activities. In fact, for the monument, on Saturday and Sunday, our hours of operation will be we're opening at 8:30 in the morning like we traditionally do, but we're closing at 10 in the evening. Monday, the day of the eclipse, will actually be opening at 6 a.m. And we'll be closing, we think, at 6 p.m. that day after being open for 12 hours. One of the things that also will be happening at the monument on Saturday, we'll be going into a 24-hour operational period. And what that means is, while having the buildings open from 8:30 to 10 p.m., we'll be allowing the people to come into the monument throughout the night. We'll have staff there throughout the night so that people can set up their telescopes and other night enthusiasts will be able to enjoy the night sky. We've had a lot of requests for that kind of access. In fact, we had somebody call and ask if they could even bring in a 12-foot ladder because they need this 12-foot ladder to look through their telescope. So I can only imagine how they're going to be getting this telescope here to Gage County. To handle the anticipated number of people, I know you may have heard that we've been working with Gage County Ag Society for the fairgrounds, the township, Blakely Township, to allow for parking on the township roads around the monument, as well the First Mennonite Church, and to connect all these different parking areas, we'll be employing a bus service transportation system. Saturday, Sunday, we'll have four buses operating, and then on, as of now, and that could change, but then on Monday, the day of the eclipse, there'll actually be 12 buses, and those buses will be connecting not only those parking areas, but we'll be coming into downtown Beatrice, and then on Monday we'll actually be coming using Hickory Road, stopping at the airport, going by the hotels, and making a big a larger circle that takes people to the monument. The National Park Service will be sending support to help us. And as well, we know we've been contacted by a number of groups, such as the University of Nebraska, willing to send volunteers to help us and that sort of thing. We believe that this whole event, I know Laura projected a lot of interest, and we're seeing that there is a lot of interest. from those early on projections and predictions. But we're thinking it's a great opportunity, not only for the monument, really, but for the community, Beatrice, the county, and the outlying communities, that there's going to be a number of people coming into the area. And we know that when people come in, it's an economic benefit because they're going to be spending money. But also, we don't know that maybe what their long-term plans are, what their long-term goals are, and how that may affect us from a positive standpoint. So we see many, many positive benefits from this weekend, while we know that we're investing a great deal of time into the preparation for it right now. So, Laura, I don't know if you have anything to add.
Have you invited Congressman Smith and the Senator Fisher and Sass? And
we all have been invited.
Okay, good.
Some of them personally, and then all by letter.
Okay, good.
So they have all been invited.
Good.
And I've had, actually, with Senator, with Smith and Deb Fisher, I've had a personal conversation with both.
Okay, fine. So good.
The governor's been invited as well.
Yes, yes. And personally as well, I've invited
him. Yeah, how about Vice President Pence?
I have not invited him. Have you invited him, Lisa?
No, not yet. Other things are in the works.
I like that, not yet.
No.
Okay.
Not yet, but I'm on it.
What I sent around was kind of some boring stuff to some, but to me it's kind of interesting. We just completed a Pandora radio buy in the Minneapolis market, and so then I wanted to look and see what was actually happening because of that buy, because they told me that they had 635 people clicked from our ad coming straight to our website. And so then I went to our website to see if the numbers matched, and in that same time frame, and our numbers are actually higher from the Minnesota area, but that's also when I was up there doing a trade show. So these are just some basic numbers for just a small snapshot of what's happening between about the end of March till yesterday. So I think our numbers really for social media are pretty good. So I just sent those around. And then on Facebook, you know, we only have 1,063 followers. But whenever I boost something or post something, we're getting a lot of people to like and comment, and so Facebook continues to be relevant. We also, from you, you gave us some significant grant money to advertise. One of the places that we did it was in Sky and Telescope when I brought this. This was their 70, keep losing their things. This was their 75th anniversary, and you know anniversary magazines are always do well. But this is the ad in here, and we contracted with them for 8 ads over about a 10-month period of time. And in visiting with Peter, who was the ad rep, he said, oh, by the way, this is last week, he said, we've used your ad a couple times as filler in our magazine. So we've gotten a couple extra months for the cost of what we put in. So I was pretty excited about that. The other thing that I found interesting is I followed the National Eclipse on Twitter because I'm not very good at Twitter, and I need to, I don't know, learn how to do this better. And so I thought, oh, well, this will be fun to follow. Well, they send anywhere between 12 and 18 tweets a day, I swear, because my feed's always full. But I've noticed now that they have a pattern of repeating some of their tweets. And a lot of it is the last time an eclipse was in this city was this date, or this city was in this date. Most of it's trivia. They do some safety stuff. But the tweets that I want to share with you that I find the most interesting, one, they continually tweeting about coming to Nebraska as a place. They've talked about Grand Island a couple times. And they talk about viewing the eclipse at Carhenge in Alliance. But this is my favorite tweet, quote, the folks in Beatrice, Nebraska are promoting their area to eclipse chasers as a place to come get mooned. So without doing anything other than being part of this and them checking out Beatrice, they've picked us up, and that, I've seen this now 6 or 7 times as it comes across their cycles of tweets. So I think that's pretty exciting that the National Eclipse is tweeting about us and making it fun, and it's not a boring stat like everything else is. So I just wanted to share that.
You know our most famous tweeter is the President of the United States.
I know.
You want to be sure to tweet him.
I will tweet him.
Okay, good.
I will do that. So that's, you know, that's where we're at. I think numbers are still strong. The last big ad push, ad buy from, it's a combination of the coalition that we're part of and Nebraska Department of Tourism, is that magazine, Sky and Telescope. They're doing a special edition eclipse. And we have bought the back page that talks about coming to Nebraska. And that will be our last big push. And that was because of the relationship. We were able to secure that because of the relationship that I had with Sky and Telescope. And this has gone all over. One of the places in here that I found interesting on our Facebook page was, I think, having 11 followers from Amsterdam was pretty impressive. And I only did the top few. There's a whole lot of others. We have a lot of countries that are following our page, which I thought was exciting.
Laura, I've had a couple people ask me, how dark is it going to get? I mean, how...
Twilight. It's going to be like Twilight. It's not going to be dark as midnight. It's going to be like it's Twilight. It's, you know, a sunset. Because the sun's still back there, and it's still going to have...
Around the edge.
So it's not going to be... The streetlights will come on. You may see a couple of the brightest stars out. One of the most impressive things about seeing a total eclipse is the corona that's going to go around the moon. It's the white light that comes around. And what I learned recently is that everyone is different. It's like a fingerprint. So no two coronas are ever the same. And that's what's so spectacular about seeing it in its totality.
This year it rains about every 6 minutes.
Not in August.
Is there any chance that it won't be raining that day?
We have a better than 50% chance of a clear day. We have one of the higher chances of a clear day. Just like I can't change the date, I cannot promise you the weather. I wish I could, and that's the chance everybody takes. You know, I think August we have a pretty good shot. I do know that Diana at the airport, the last time we visited, which was a while ago now, she had 5 pilots that are flying in, for sure, have already made reservations to fly in that day, or the day before, because they want to sleep under the wing of the airplane. And she said, well, they want to be in a position to bug out if it's cloudy here and go someplace else. And I said, have you ever considered the other thing is, if we are clear skies here, other places could be cloudy and you could have a lot of traffic coming in. And she went, oh. So, you know, she is following that. We are promoting the airport as a place to come in and view it as well. And I was excited that she had 5 confirmed pilots flying in. And I watch a lot of the weather patterns since I'm down here, and a lot of times we'll be beautiful down here in Beatrice, and it's cloudy and ucky in the central part of the state. So, you know, that would be okay with me, because then those people from Grand Island will maybe come this way. But I do expect a lot of people. I think we're going to have a lot of people in the county. The only events the Chamber and Tourism are going to do was we're going to show 2 movies, 2 nights. That's it. We want our businesses. We want our communities to benefit. So we're pushing it out that way. And as soon as I have all the information, we put it on our website. I have Virginia's on our website. So that's what we're doing. So please, 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 wherever you are, make sure you see it.
And if you just talk to Doug and Dave from KW, not KW, but KWBE Radio, they'll take care of the weather.
We'll do that.
All right.
And I will put in a plug. I did have a conversation with Mike Flood and the station and News Channel Nebraska. They're going to be talking about the eclipse all weekend, but on Monday, they're going to have live coverage of what's happening. We're directing all of our guests to tune in to our local radio station to find out where you can park, where you need to go, what the traffic is like, excuse me, and all those things. So they've partnered with us to do that, and I think that'll be fun.
And that's former Senator Flood, so if you need any real information, I can take care of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you much. Thank you for the update. Well, I'm sure we'll have more.
Bart, can you talk about your special guest that's not official yet or not yet?
Unfortunately, Eric, I need to keep that under our hats right now.
but
lots of activities for kids, though.
Lots of
learning opportunities.
We'll be having crafts activities led by Monument staff, volunteers. Also, the NASA folks are helping lead craft activities. The Ready, Jet, Go thing is really targeted for kids and the young families. There's a lot that's targeted for kids and families, young families, and it's going to be a fun weekend.
Good way to trick kids into learning through fun.
Right. Right.
So I see your programs now that you're having on our radio station is really great, but also on TV, that you're bringing your representatives in and letting the whole area know about what's happening at the Hovedstead.
Right.
It's great. Thank you.
Also, just to build on what Laura was saying, USA Today here earlier this spring identified the top 10 places to watch the eclipse from, and the monument was identified as one of the top 10 places. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. And there's a lot of people in the community helping. Gus and his department's helping. I know that Galen and his crew, they've been asked to bring out road signs to help us. And so anyway, I know that it's really a community-wide effort here with volunteers and others. And I think it's going to take a community-wide effort to make it successful for everybody. So thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for all the planning ahead of time. Very, very important.
And we hope Gus doesn't need another new car to handle this.
Next up on the agenda, approve or disapprove resolution for special use permit number 2017-2 for placement of a home next to livestock facility located in the northwest fourth of Section 16, Lincoln Township.
Motion to approve.
Resolution 17-12.
Second.
17-12.
3 seconds.
You guys want to arm wrestle over this or what?
Motion by Bauman and seconded by Juergens. Any other discussion? I see Adams here and stuff, so you're just waiting for the vote. So we had the public hearing 2 weeks ago.
I think you had the recommendation from PNC.
Yes.
That was on that.
Yes, Don did contact them, and we have the written recommendation from them. We have that on record now and everything from the public hearing that they had and their vote and everything. So we thought we were pretty sure of it, but we didn't have it on record, so we do have that on record. So
the other thing, when you make your motion, make sure you reference the 7, even though this one there was no opposition and you got a recommendation, make your reference to the 7 guidelines in your PNC packet, okay, like you did on the last one. You remember that?
So you want to read those and reference your motion to that, Matt?
As long as I don't have my glasses, we'll stick it way out here.
We don't have a motion.
We have a motion. Matt made a motion. We have a motion by Bauman and a second by Juergens.
I'm sorry, my bad.
I guess I would make a motion to approve, seeing no opposition to the special use permit. And there are, do you want me to read these?
It's important that we put these in the record,
okay.
Even though in this case it's not a problem. We have other cases where we have concerns.
I don't have concerns.
The court has one, though.
Maybe the majority of the other board does, but I don't have
one.
Okay, so in all seriousness here, so I'm going to read these as part of my motion, is that the special use permit and the stipulations of the following guidelines would be to be compatible with and similar to the use permitted in the district, not be a matter which should require rezoning of the property, not be detrimental to the adjacent property, not tend to depreciate the value of the surrounding structures or property, be compatible with the stated intended use of the district, not change the character of the district, and be in accordance with the comprehensive plan.
Thank you.
Yes.
Do we have a comprehensive plan out there? Do we have a comprehensive plan?
Yes, we have a comprehensive plan.
I heard Lisa, so.
Yeah, it's about this thick.
You can see Lisa.
For that area.
Yep. Any more discussion? Otherwise, vote. 6-0 in favor. Thank you for coming back, Adam.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate what you did there. Great.
Sorry we made you wait another 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, they couldn't have built anyhow. It was raining.
That's all it does around here.
Next on the agenda, approve or disapprove resolution to transfer $60,000 from miscellaneous general to the jail budget for operation of the department.
Motion to approve.
17-13.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, second by Lytle. Discussion. I think We've had some discussion at previous meetings about this, and there's another bill that just came through for more outside housing of prisoners, this in the last one and stuff. So that part of that budget has gone way over the amount that we originally set in our budget, and I think we've had discussion before about why that's happening. So,
yeah, I have no more comments.
This isn't for the sheriff's budget. Isn't over. This is the jail budget.
This is just only the jail part of our budget. Yes,
mm-hmm. And the sheriff's budget is probably going to come in below budget.
I think it'll be close.
Yeah.
That one there, they're having more discussion on, and that'd probably be at our next, because it's our next meeting is when we would have to approve one by a transfer.
We would have, the 7th.
By the 7th. Mm-hmm. So if there's something there, that'll be available. That'll be by our next meeting.
Make a motion to approve.
No, we already have the motion.
Okay.
Well, thanks for paying attention.
All right.
Matt, will you wake Terry up, please?
Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove agreement with Capital City Concepts, LLC, for county wage study.
Terry, go ahead. You want to make it? You want to make this motion?
Make a motion to approve.
Did we vote on
approve
it?
Or we just voted on it. Yeah, sorry.
I want to make a motion to approve the Capital City Concepts wage study.
Second. I don't think we should wait for Terry.
Okay, Bauman did make the motion.
Bauman made the motion to approve agreement with Capital City Concepts.
Okay.
Gary seconded it. Lytle seconded it. This is, we received a letter from them with a proposal for approximate cost of $16,000 plus some expenses. We received this back in March. We just had never acted on it. We discussed on it a couple times. Just had some discussion. Paul Essman, E-S-S-M-A-N, is the individual that runs this company. And he outlined what he would do as far as not only which departments and comparability studies with others, and also we can use this for the FOP.
When was the last time we did this?
2004.
Yeah, so it's been a while.
Too long.
Yep. And this was one we're going to compare actual comparables, not ridiculous comparables that mean nothing.
Right.
But those comparables are defined by CIR in previous cases, correct? That's the same that are those the ones we're using?
I think that's what he will use. We'll have conversation with that once we get into it. But that's what I use right now or have on record. So unless it's different, I'll let you know.
The objective is to establish pay lines for Gage County elected offices and other departments. Pay lines that are comparable to prevalent wage rates within a selected labor market. That's the objective that he outlined in here. So.
If we see that we're paying too much in places, are we going to lower people's wages to that comparable?
I can tell you that's not going to happen.
Never know.
You might be surprised.
I'm doing surveys for the counties already, and that's not the case. So, that's
that. Sheriff, you should never say never.
But I just want to make sure everybody realizes this comparability study is not only just for what I call the sheriff's department. It's for the other departments
county.
Also in the county.
Go ahead.
And if there is such a thing as someone's way out of line above, if I recall back in the past, they can just stay where they're at. Not.
I was meaning us, not.
Oh, yeah.
And I think
they freeze it, he just gets himself caught up later on the road.
I think he listed in there that it would take up to 2 months. So we haven't voted yet, right?
Nope.
Terry, you ready to vote?
Do you have a motion, Mr. Chairman?
I'll make the motion.
No, we already have the motion.
That, no. You show Terry where his vote machine
six,
is.
6-0 in favor. Anything else? Otherwise, we have a couple things. Gus has some things for negotiations and stuff that we need in closed session.
Lenhart, I think, has something to say.
Lenhart has something else quick here.
Yeah, that's going to the Eclipse deals. You know, Homestead, they're way down. Virginia's way up there. We've got a lot of questions over there now. If they want to bring in trailers and campers, you know, and park like in the town, do you need any okay or permits or anything? I was talking about permits. You need something for about everything. Or are you going to just open up the county for that day?
Well, if it's in some small community, their village board has to approve it.
Right. The village board is the only one.
Yeah.
Well, we kicked that around and at our last meeting, and I says, I don't know if we need any okays. We don't know what's coming in, but we will have space if they want to bring in their campers. We will. Right now, we're not going to serve any food. We got plenty of beer.
Did you talk to the sheriff about that?
Oh, wait, that's when you...
Well, the sheriff is invited, too, if he wants to come.
Thank
but
you.
I mean, I just wondered about that. So if we talk to the... Well, we got one of them that's on the city that's at the Legion. So they should know if you... We don't need anything from the county.
If not, nope. If not, contact the city's attorney, whoever they use for an attorney, and ask him. So
that'd be okay. Okay, thanks.
Okay, at 10:08 on the clock, I'll entertain a motion to go into closed session necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Beyer, second by Thiemann. Vote 6-0 in favor.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks for backing me up.
Entertain a motion. Are we on?
Yep.
Entertain a motion at 10:56 to come out of closed session.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, second by Byers. Vote 5-0 in favor. No, 4 in favor, 3 in favor, and 2 against. Bauman and Thiemann are against. Norm Lytle and Byers are in favor. Luckily, we got to come out of it. Meeting adjourned. Thank you, guys.
I make a motion to adjourn.
That was great.